Good evening. Welcome to Milkshake Monday, episode 239. I'm Anita Helm, and this is being brought to you by Fordo's Production. Before I start, I just wanted to share with you that I'd asked you to pray. I am going back to Towson University to speak on business relationships this Thursday, and I just ask for you to keep me in your prayers. And I am so appreciative for all of you that are reaching out to me to encourage me and to share that you're asking your congregations and people if I could come and speak, and I do appreciate that greatly. Now tonight, the determination of the weed. What happened to even get this? I'm always listening for the Lord to give me the teaching for the next week. And I have to tell you that 3 years ago, I put in a patio in the backyard, and the patio was a brick patio. And I watched how the mechanics of what they had to do and what they had to dig up and to try to prevent weeds. And it's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And as the years went by, I'd see one or two weeds, and I never could figure out how they worked through going through plastic and sand and all kinds of elements that didn't support any kind of growth. But then over time, I see more and more weeds, and I go out and I pick up 15 and 20 more would come back. And so every day it's a constant me going out there. Well, I'm sitting there enjoying the sun, and I look at one of these pots that I put out that has no dirt. It actually has plastic flowers because it's not real. And I figure I'll put these plastic flowers. It looks pretty. And I looked over and you will not believe that there is a weed growing out of that pot. It has no dirt. It has nothing in there to support that weed. But there's this big weed. I didn't even go over there and look to see how or why that weed is in there. I said, oh my goodness, the determination of the weed. And when I said that, I immediately thought of tonight. And I said, the enemy's warfare, because Christ is going to show us in one of the parables how God will sow good seed into a field. And he'll give the word of God, but there's always that enemy that's trying to infiltrate. And tonight we're going to talk about the determination of the seed, Satan and his enemy warfare against those who he wants to go with the rest of the demons down to hell. And I wanted to just break this down so that we can just have a conversation about the determination of this enemy. And I'm going to call him the weed. In the case of, why is the enemy so determined? Now, you know the obvious. He wants as many people to go to hell with him and the demons. I mean, that's pretty clear, but I want to understand what exactly is happening and actually unfolding. And I'm going to take us first to explain some of this answer in Judges chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. And I'm going to read it out of the Living Bibles and then one passage of it out of the Amplified. But let's look at Judges 2, verses 7 through 11. Joshua, the man of God, died at the age of 110 and was buried at the edge of his property in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. The people had remained true to the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime. And as long afterward as the old men of his generation were still living, those who had seen the mighty miracles of the Lord had done for Israel. But finally, in this verse 10, I'm going to read twice. But finally, all that generation died. And the next generation did not worship Jehovah as their God and did not care about the mighty miracles he had done for Israel. They did many things that the Lord had expressly forbidden, including the worshiping of heathen gods. Now I'm going to read verse 10 of Judges 2. In the Amplified, just so we can clarify what is going on here. Also, all the peoples of that generation were gathered to their fathers in death. And another generation arose after them who did not know, recognize, understand the Lord, nor even the work which he had done for Israel. The whole fight about the weeds is for damnation. But what is happening is, we have generations of now children and children's children who grandma is gone, the pastor is gone, the spouse is gone, the ties that bind whatever matriarch or patriarch or uncles and aunts that used to always say things about the Lord and take people to the house of worship to prayer and drag those kids out of bed or take the kids when the parents are too lazy, they're gone. And the people that would know better and know the importance of even Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter are gone. And now we have children who are raising children and their children, and none of them have experienced the worship of God or know God or understand how God had brought the family in the past through, how when they didn't have, they only had because God's grace and mercy. Those generations are gone, and Satan is thrilled that there's grandmamas and great grandmamas that could care less about their grandchildren knowing about the Lord, that could care less about a Bible being in the house and read out loud, who could care less for being at the dinner table and just start eating or having any kind of thankfulness or gratefulness or humility or knowing even what right or wrong is, because right and wrong is all what the kids say. And if the kids say, I want it, daggone it, somebody gonna get it, because nobody's told them about driving out the folly as these children. So that was the first question. What is Satan's whole purpose for these weeds? It's all for damnation, but how is it unfolding? There has been a loss. And as you just saw, Joshua was 110 years old and all that older generation died out. And I got to tell you, the people that seem to listen and follow after, whether it's Milkshake Monday, whether it's some of these teachings, some of the people on YouTube, a lot of them are older. But guess what? I have some encouraging news. I listen to Elevation Worship and I listen to Steve Furtick, and they're opening up different places all around the country. And I was listening to the excitement of the younger youth pastor tonight. And, you know, it may have happened in the past, but I heard it tonight. And so what was so thrilling is to see not the crowds, because the crowds could get you excited. A lot of stuff got crowds, but it's that they're worshiping Jesus Christ. They're singing songs of worship that are not just about bebop, bebop, you know, but they're speaking about the praise and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ministers of the gospel are opening the Bible and teaching and not giving a 5-minute Bible verse and then 75 minutes of singing about nothing. They are teaching. And I am so excited to see blacks and whites and browns and yellows and reds and all the colors of the rainbow coming together, worshiping Jesus Christ. That was so exciting for me to see. Now, since we saw about why is the enemy so determined, and again, it's to destroy the generation to go to hell. Now I want to know something about this approach. What is going on with the weeds? Because in the parable that Christ is going to talk to, and we're going to read in a second out of Matthew 13, verses 24 through 46, the parable of the sower is basically saying that there is a field that's been planted. It's the Lord who has planted this field, but the enemy is going to come in and interdisperse between the good seeds, some weeds, and then he's going to go away and he's just going to let it do what it does, which is grow together. And this person who's a servant says, don't you want us to go and dig up the weeds? Because we're seeing them both come up together. And you see in the parable, it says, no, I want them to grow together. The Lord says, I want them to go together. The enemy did it because he wants it for a different purpose. But the Lord is going to say, I want them to go together. And then I want you to see this scripture that says here, and then when they're grown, I'm going to have my folks come and take out all of the weeds and burn them up. And then I'm going to gather that which is mine. But you're going to see them growing together. And I'm going to talk to you about that after I read the scripture. So Matthew 13, 24 through 46 in the NIV version I'm reading. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. I want y'all to see the order of what's going on. The wheat sprouted first, but then very soon after, the weeds also appeared. Some of y'all are bearing fruit, but you got some things and people in your lives that as you start to bear fruit, guess what? The weeds in your life start popping up. And those weeds weren't put there by God. Those weeds were put there by the enemy. But the enemy went away because he's done his job. He already got infiltration into your situation, into your environment, into your life, into your heart. Some things that don't belong, they're going to be burned up. It says here in verse 27, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, this is a dumb question. It's a really dumb question. Didn't you sow good seed? Sometimes we ask God that kind of dumb question as though God doesn't know what he's done. Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? So God's got to give us an explanation. An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? Logic would tell some of us that we need to do some getting some people out. But God sometimes wants to show us some things because we have free will. And there are times that God is going to say, okay, you need to make some decision. You are mature enough in the Lord to know the word of God. You have the Holy Spirit convicting you. You need to make some decisions. But God is going to let time go because some of us say, oh, you know, God, I really love them. Oh, I really love that habit. Oh, I really don't want to get rid of this now. But look what God says. No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until all of us are going to face an until the harvest. We don't know when the harvest is coming, but in this case, he says, y'all grow up together, but there's an until coming, saints. There's an until. Y'all can play dumb. The generation that don't want to remember God can play dumb, but there's an until coming until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. If you didn't listen to last week and the week before, y'all need to listen because there's some consistency in these parables. It's always some burning up. Just like the lake of fire. There's always some burning up. Y'all better look at these parables. It continues here to tell you this. Why are they growing up together? And I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to look. You're going to have to go back and read your own selves. But I want you to see some close contacts. Because in these examples that I'm going to read to you, and you go read it for yourself, God is always telling us, even in Matthew 6, either you're going to love God or you're going to love mammon. You're going to either love life or you're going to love death. You're either going to love good or you're going to love evil. You see some examples of people who had the same scenario. Cain and Abel, brother, brother. One brother didn't follow God and killed his brother. One brother did follow God and was murdered. Close contacts. That's brother to brother. What about lovers to lovers? Samson and Delilah. Samson should have known better. Delilah was never in his life for any good. She was the weed. And Samson was foolish enough, should have known better. But you saw how that went. What about the story I just taught about? Remember Elijah and his servant, and Naaman came to be healed of leprosy, and he wanted to give something. And Elijah said, no, I don't need that. But that servant ran after him. He said, oh, my master's had a change of mind. Give me my stuff. And you know what happened. That was Elijah's servant, close proximity. Both of them growing up and doing the ministry, but something wasn't right. What about Judas the betrayer? He was a disciple. Christ called him friend as he kissed him and betrayed him. He ended up hanging himself. He was a disciple. Ananias and Sapphira, they were in the congregation, lied about giving money. They were close proximity to all those disciples. And think about the cross that we just talked about when resurrection. Close proximity was the thief on the cross that asked Christ, please remember me. And you other had the other close proximity thief that was hurling insults, but saying, oh, well, save me and save yourself. The weeds are always around us in close proximity. But again, we have to make decisions. Wide gate, narrow gate. God says there's a choice between life and death. And he says, choose life. But guess what? There's a lot of choosing of death because guess what? It sounds fun. It looks fun. You could go and you can do the dancing. And I'm not saying that this is evil. Dancing is not evil. And I'm saying, but I'm saying the partying, the drinking, the drugging, the gambling, the sexing, all that stuff seems fun, exciting, lively. But when Christ is nowhere to be found in the conversation, in the lifestyle, in the loving, where people can't love if they don't know Christ. They can do physical acts that you think is loving, but you can love, they loving all kinds of crap. Now, love is not these things that you can't love if you don't know Christ. You can say you love, but ultimately it's going to be something that's got this finite end to it. Because this generation is following after the folly of Satan. And Satan is thrilled with it. He knows the weeds that he has in all of our lives. Close proximity weeds, y'all. I gave you the close proximity. But let's figure out another thing. Why are these weeds reproducing so fast? What is going on? And here's the thing. Weeds just like plants in good soil. If the soil is fertile and ready and allowing them to get deeper roots and expand, and I can tell you out in my yard, I started plucking up dandelions, and I tell you, you see the roots are just so long and you see that they're just spreading, and you think you did all your yard and didn't give it another week, and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch more because that weed is got plenty of soil and keeps spreading out. And you think you got this one part. No, it's just stretching out. Because what's happening now is that Satan is allowing those young people, those people that you would rather give them everything of their desires instead of telling them what thus saith the Lord. But you love little Johnny and little Susie so much that you don't want to tell them about the Lord. I see all of these people excited about these babies coming. But the parents don't know God. The kids will grow up and they'll get all the designer stuff in the world and they have all the parties in the world and everybody's so excited, but they don't know God. And then you wonder when fast forward and they're 15 and they're 20 and now they're acting up. Now they want to smack you in the face. They want to hit you. They want to steal from you. They want to do all this stuff except for say, praise God. And you wonder, how did that happen? The generations didn't know God. And now you have these generations who are perpetually going forward and forward in their lives and going deeper and deeper in the roots of the weeds of what Satan is telling them to do, which all his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But let's look at this. Matthew 12 verses 43 through 45 talks about a house being cleaned up of spirits. Evil spirits, one at the time. But then it's going to tell you that the spirit is going to be roaming around and say, I'm going back home. And I'm not just going to go by myself in case there's some, you know, maybe I can't handle what that little bit of, you know, religion that they got now. I'm going to bring all these other spirits with me. And it's going to say the condition is going to be worse than it was at first. Well, some of you have allowed so many weeds to come back into the house. Y'all don't even have no space. Y'all can barely say praise God because everybody else is cussing out and saying Jesus' name in vain because now they're running the house and you love them so much that you can't say, hey, time out. As for me and my house, we're going to praise the Lord. And since your tail is living in my house, here's the rules of this house. And if you don't like the rules of this house, you got to go. But no, y'all love the kids so much. Y'all making a choice to say, well, God will understand. God understands that you're not putting your foot down about what the things of God versus the things of Satan. You are making a choice to say, I want to do the weeds. I want to do what the weeds got going on. But look what it says here in Matthew 12. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through and places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. Remember, he just came out of a person. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put an order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the first condition, the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it would be. It will be with this wicked generation. This generation that has no boundaries. This generation that hasn't been told anything about the Lord. This generation that you're saying, oh, Johnny and Mary are so sweet. Susie is so sweet. I just love them. Oh, they just don't mean it. They don't mean what they say. They don't mean what they're just being kids. Kids are just be kids. And then that little hellion gets more spirits to come into your house, to spend your money, to spit in your face. And you wonder what's going on. A wicked generation that don't know God is not going to act godly. That's not us just making up stuff. God is saying we are doing things that are contrary to the word of God, and we're finding the consequences of those. And the thing about it is, the more we keep giving out of what we have and not what God has, we're seeing the consequences of this behavior. The determination of the weed is that the weed will replicate. The weed in the enemy warfare is going to continue until we saints put our foot down, put our prayer life up and put our foot down. Because some of us keep saying, oh, I want my person to get saved. But how are they going to get saved if you don't talk about Jesus? If you don't put no requirements on them, you letting them get all your money. They can live in your house and live like hell. They can do everything they want except for go and praise the Lord and come. If they got to live in your house rent free, can't y'all say you come to church? That's my condition. You coming to hear about thus saith the Lord. Oh, no, I can't do that. Why can't you? Why can't you? They living in your house, eating your food, coming in your door with the locks that you have. Why can't you? What's the problem? They grown. Well, they so grown. Let them get a job. Let them find their, you know. I think we have to realize that if this generation is going to know about God, we have to at least show them. And God didn't let, it says, if you don't work, you don't eat. I'm not making this stuff up. We're going to go to some good seed, because even with the good seed of Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, even those of us who hear and receive good seed, out of the seeds that they talk about, only one seed survives. The rest of them get a good start as the other, but then all these circumstances of life, and guess what? The weeds are the circumstances that they're talking about. All the people in close proximity to you and I are the reasons why these first set of seeds don't survive. And you wonder, what's going on? Why am I worrying? Why am I pulling my hair out? Why can't I sleep at night? Why I just can't eat? I just feel sick. I just don't know what to do. If you would do what thus saith the Lord and not what your logical mind, because God says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding is protecting the weeds of your life and not giving them some direction to say, you got to get some things right in your life with the Lord. I can't carry you. I won't carry you as long as you keep doing it your way, which is the way of the wide gate in hell. You're not going to get a free ride on me and then keep doing living like hell. Oh, we can't do that, Sister Helm. They're not going to survive. What do you want me to pull them out? They're going to put you out. They're going to either take you out by killing you with all this sickness and diseases they bring in your house. They don't care because they don't love God. I know you love your children. I know you love your grandchildren and your extended family and all these people in your life. Ain't no problem loving them, but love them enough to tell them the truth of God's word. Now let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the, the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now he's going to explain it to his disciples. He's going to take them alone by themselves and explain it. And I want you to understand the first examples that he's going to explain. What happened is exactly where the weeds are determined to stuff, to snuff out all the seeds. And that's why we have some very weak congregations right now, because the people are being snuffed out by all of the weeds and they are not reproducing. They're not bearing fruit. It says here, verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Weed, weed, weed. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Weed, weed, weed. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Weed, weed, weed. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Weed one, weed two, weed three, grandchild one, grandchild two, grandchild three, neighbor this, neighbor that. Oh, we got the sun here, got the, all of the weeds. What does it say here? The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. I got to take care of Johnny. I got to take care of Susie. I can't give my tithes and offerings. I can't come to church. I've been worrying all night. Oh, my hair's falling out. I'm so sick. I'm so worried about the kids. I'm so worried. Everything's, they're taking all my money. I got to pay their rent. I got to get them the car. Their tires aren't working. Oh, they got to get the teeth done. It's just so much on me. I just can't come to church. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. We're going to go to Revelation. Because I've been telling you Revelation, and I've been doing the Great White Throne, but I'm going to go to Revelation 22 tonight. In it, it talks about, really, we have these wide gates. We have a wide gate, which you have weeds growing, flourishing, reproducing after their kind. Satan is just so happy for the steal, killing, and destroying that's going on, because he knows that all the people that are going to be at the Great White Throne judgment are going down to hell. But at this very last chapter of Revelation, there's a communication from Christ himself. And some of it's in red letters and some of it's in the normal black font. But I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. It says here, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." Doesn't it sound like the wheat and tares growing together until that harvest, until the harvest? Verse 12, And behold, I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly until the harvest. Do y'all remember that? I am coming quickly. There's a time stamp that God's going to say it's time. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside, these aren't the people coming in the gates. Outside, these are the people going in that wide gate, the great white throne that he was talking about in the prior chapter. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Who is the Satan? Who is the deceiver? Who is the enemy? The father of lies? The whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But it says, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I pray that you've heard the word of God, that something has convicted you. We have to start saying the truth because we are losing generations. And the time for play is over because the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. And it says the harvest is ripe, it's plenteous, but the laborers are few. And if we who say we love God don't share the message of truth, these generations are going to be lost to hell. And that is not the will of the Lord. The Lord said it is not his will that any should perish. But we know there are going to be some that's going to be going. It says it. Big and small are going to find themselves called up to the great white throne. And they're going to be going to hell with Satan and his demons. But I pray that you get serious about this. I do want you all to pray. Please continue to pray for me as I go to speak to the men at Towson University this week. And I just ask you all to continue to lift me up in prayer as wherever God sends me out to the vineyard to do the work of the Lord. I love you. And Lord willing, I will see you next week. God bless you.